Lord Jesus. Jesus. We praise you, God, for bringing us here with your Holy Spirit in our hearts to call on your name, to learn your word, to fight in the fight of faith, to trust you, to grow in you, to hear from you, Lord. We praise you, God, for your gifts and blessing in each life. When we look back, we say God did it. God delivered us from fears, enemies, delivered us from ourselves and set us up on a rock higher. You have put your word in our hearts, Lord. You have anointed us with your spirit, and we praise you all the day long and want to learn praise and thanksgiving as a way of life, to put on the new man and put off the old man. We want to learn, God, and grow and trust you and put your enemies under our feet, Lord, to cast our sins in the deepest sea, to put our name in your book, God, is great, unbelievable. Thank you, God. You are our Father. We praise you for taking care of us, helping us to get up and move and trust you, protecting us, God, helping us, Lord, answering our prayers many, many times, millions of times perhaps, answering our prayers and turning salt water into fresh water and turning darkness into light and helping us to look at life as mature people. We praise you for all of this, God, for our church, Lord, for the desires in our hearts, the new desires that we have for you, to love you, to trust you, to rejoice in you. God, and around the world, Father, that the Holy Spirit in the Philippines, in Asia, in every part of Africa, in India, in every part of Europe, that Christ would be preached, heard, believed, trusted, embraced, known. In Latin America and Central America and South America, in the islands and the Caribbean and the Pacific, everywhere, send your word, Lord. Send your laborers, God. Send out people that we belong to something bigger than ourselves, Lord. We be part of world missions, the Great Commission, the Great Commission. In Jesus' name, for our families, our children, grandchildren, for marriages, for every home, everywhere where we sit at the dinner table, at the breakfast table, and we have a word in season to him that is weary. Yes, Lord, for our small groups and our fellowship, our cafe, for the Saturday outreaches, and please, Lord, may it bear fruit and be blessed, God. We ask it in your name tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Could you, with your neighbor sitting right next to you, have a prayer with them for something on your heart? Maybe whatever, family, finances, health. Say a prayer right where you're seated with somebody next to you. Would you stand with me for a moment and just turn to each other for a moment and you say, boy, the pastor is a little angry tonight. I don't know what's going on, but I'm not angry anyway. How are you doing? Go ahead and say to your neighbor. We have a picture of Bob Hotchkiss up on the screen here. Yeah, we love this guy. Remember Joanne and his wife? Joanne, his wife. And he was a missionary. He was in Lenox and through the years and in Hungary with us as a missionary. He was in Korea, South Korea. And Pastor DeVries said, he's a dearly loved Greater Grace missionary. He lived in Korea. The Lord gave him a ministry of investment and Bible teaching in our local assembly. Every semester he taught Bible college classes, discipled individuals, was always ready to help when we needed something done. His heart for missions was continually exemplified in his prayers for the lost, especially in the Philippines. After South Korea, he went to the Philippines. We will miss him and are so thankful for his portion of Christ. And we're going to be seeing him again. How soon? Go ahead, turn to your neighbor and you say, how soon? When is that going to happen? Huh? Wow. Yeah. Amazing. Okay, you may be seated. One simple principle I want to share with you tonight is from 2 Corinthians 7:1. I'm sorry, 6:1. Well, 6:1. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 6:1. I always wondered when I was in Bible college, because I'm like young and energetic and I want to do something. So what do I do as a Christian? I know God has done a lot for me. God has saved me. God has given me grace. God has given me the Holy Spirit. Now, what do I do? What do I do? So I was always sitting in the classes and always listening for, what do I do? What should I do? So I learned little by little that the teaching of the Bible is really something, we can say, a mystery. There's a mystery in the Christian faith. There's something, I wanted a manual for what I do. Like, tell me what to do. I can get it done. Tell me what to do. Like God did his part. Now, what do I do? Give me the manual. Steps 1 through 10 or any way you want to. Give me a thick book, whatever. I could read it. I could obey it. I could do it. Tell me what I should do. That was the way I was thinking. Okay, after sitting here for a while, by the way, I want to introduce Mancorn to everybody. Would you like to stand for a second? Okay, Bible school. He's a great, all right, he's from India, young guy, was in New York. He had a spiritual person in his life. He got saved how long ago? 6 months ago. And strangely, the spiritual person counseling him, praying for him, leading him to Christ said, I feel you're supposed to be in Baltimore. Yeah. And so they looked us, they looked up Baltimore, they saw a Bible school, and the woman said, that's the place for you. So he came here to go to Bible school out of the blue, right? Out of the blue. Huh? What about that? That's amazing. We have another brother, Caleb, from Tennessee. I don't know, is he here right now? Here's another one. He's in Tennessee. God spoke to him here to go to Baltimore, remember? And he did, and he's here in Bible school. That's amazing. All right, what do I do? This was my question, you know. What should I do? So I want to speak about that for a few minutes tonight. Look at chapter 6, verse 1. We then, as workers together with him. So I like that. Working together with God. I want to work together with him. But how does he work? And what does it mean to work together with him? Who is he? I have to work together with him. You know how in the Old Testament they were taught the Jews couldn't link up animals that were different from each other. They had to be paired with the same kind of animal. A cow with a cow, an ox with an ox. And they couldn't mismatch the animals. As an unbeliever, I would be a mismatch with God. It wouldn't work. He is different from me. We would walk differently. Our eyes would be different. And the animals that were different, it would be like with God. The wool and the linen is another example. You cannot mix the wool and the linen. They had to be all this way or this way. So these are pictures for us for how we must be like him. We are born again with his nature, and we are like him. That's the miracle of his work. We are regenerated. We are like him. We have a new nature. We are like him. Maybe that's all I have to say tonight. That's the message. Wouldn't you be happy that the message would be that short? We are like him. We can work together with him. But many times we find in the Christian faith that the Christian is working for God, not working with God, or we're working to find God, where we're working for justification, we're working for finding favor. But all this has been done through Christ. We have been accepted. We have been regenerated. We are born of the Spirit. We are standing in grace. We are forgiven and redeemed. We are born, we are dwelling in eternity now. We dwell, inhabit heavenly places in the high and lofty place with the eternal God. For eternal life, take hold of eternal life. He is in us. We have eternal life in John 5:24. So I want to say a couple things about it. Look at verse 1 more time. We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. The main part of the verse is that first part. We then, as workers together with him. And what is that? To work with him. We'll turn to Hebrews 4 for a similar passage. Oh, I think the Holy Spirit has a lot to say to us. Oh, I think he does. I think in these days we are living, the Holy Spirit wants you to be really built up, edified. I think the Holy Spirit wants you and I to learn to wait on God. Waiting on God. Psalm 40, verse 1, to wait upon God. What does it mean? This is one of the things we do when we work together with God, is that we respect Him and are quietly waiting on God, truth, relating to God in truth, submitted to God in truth, waiting on God. Waiting for a phone call might be hard, but it might be a long wait. Waiting on somebody's decision, waiting on somebody who has authority, waiting and resting, waiting in the trusting in the character of the person I'm trusting. Maybe a woman waiting upon, like, trusting her husband, or the husband trusting his wife. They're a team. They work together. But part of the work is to trust, wait, be patient. It's God that is leading. It's God who has this thing called life, who can govern your life and direct your life, and to wait upon God. Remember, Moses wanted to liberate the Jews, and so he murdered somebody. It didn't work until 40 years later he met God at the burning bush, and he told him to take his shoes off, because my work is not done your way. I need you to wait upon me and trust me and obey me. I need you to go back to Egypt. 40 years away from Egypt, and he's to go back. The last place on earth. He's been a fugitive, and he goes back. This has something to do with working together with God. It's a different time frame. Maybe somebody goes to Bible college. I remember that idea. I had a friend in Bible college. We'll go to Bible college. He said, I just need about 6 months. I'll go to Bible college, and then I'll go to Africa as a missionary. Doesn't work. The brokenness of a long period of time, the brokenness of things not going my way in my time frame, the brokenness of feeling like I don't understand, but I can wait upon you and trust you. I don't know why you don't answer me, but I wait upon you and I trust you. A second thing that we do when we walk with Him and work with Him is that we learn His thoughts. Meditation on the Word. In the high school today, I made an effort to teach the high school class about meditation, and we took some scripture and I taught them. And one thing I said, if you found a letter out on the street that was sealed and with no name, maybe one name, but you opened it and you read it, what would be the questions you would ask if you opened that letter? You would ask, where did it come from? When was it written? Who is it written to? And what's being said? When you read the Bible, you want to ask those questions. Who is talking? What is he saying? Why is he saying it? Why is he saying it this way? And when you start to process the Word and ask the big questions and think about it, the Holy Spirit will give you something to meditate on. And it won't be you. It'll be Him. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. You can develop a habit of meditation in the Word if you can let your own immediate life go. Let it go. That's not that important. Let it go. Have priority on what God is thinking. Have a habit of meditation. Then, yes, you will eat lunch. Yes, you'll put gas in your car. Yes, you will have a job. Yes, you will. Yeah, all of this stuff will be. But those things will not fill your life and steal your life so you can't work with God. We then as workers together with him, waiting on him, and then also thinking with him. Thinking. Meditations of biographies and doctrines and meditations of poems and of proverbs and meditations of histories and meditations of prophets and meditations of songs and meditations of miracles and parables and meditations. I was telling my grandson today, driving him into school this morning, a parable. I said, can I tell you a parable? He said, sure. And so we talked about the parable of the man who went to Home Depot and got some workers and at 6 in the morning, and he brought them to the garden and went back at 10 o'clock, got more workers, and he went at noon and brought them home to work on his garden, and at 2 o'clock, and then finally at 4 o'clock, he went back and he got another, I think 5 o'clock, 1 hour left in the day, he went and got another worker. And then it was pay time. And he started with the last one, and he gave him a full day's pay. Full day pay. He worked 1 hour, and all through the day. And the guys who worked the whole day started to complain about it. They said, it's not fair, it's not fair. And I said, Ethan, you're going to hear a lot in this world when people say, it's not fair. But check your heart, because God is good. And if he wants to be good and give an enormous gift to somebody, then let him do so. Never become jealous. Never compare. But enjoy and be thankful for everything we have. So there's a young man, he's 13 years old. He who learns a little parable, a dad or a granddad have something to say. And this is how we live. Do you realize that our country has forsaken the Bible and the church and forsaken a godly education as a habit, as a policy, as a rule of government? Do you realize that the family and the home is important and the church life? In our relationships, in our teaching, because we are not wasting our life in a small world. No, we're a small, Pastor Lange's famous statement, I'd rather be a small part of something big than to be a big part of something small. What a good statement. Big part of my small life. I don't want to be a big part of my life, of my small life or my small world. My addictions, my bad habits, my grievances, my jealousies, my bitterness, my unbelief, all that stuff is so small. And so I want to be small and walk with God, whatever he has for us, right? That's what we have. We're going to finish. Turn to Hebrews 4, please. And this is verse 8. For Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. I don't know how to explain that more beautifully than the way it's written. There is a rest. A rest for the people of God. It's not a cessation of activity. It's another kind of rest. It's a rest from fear, a rest from worry, a rest from guilt. It's a resting from the burdens of life, resting from our worries and our fears. There is a rest for the people of God. When you and I are co-laboring with God, there's a rest. God is a God of rest. He rested on the seventh day. He is not worried about a thing. He is rejoicing in his love. He is confident in his plan. He is reality. Reality is rest. The believer has a rest. There is a rest for the people of God. Then look at what it says. There remains a rest. Verse 10, for he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works. No working for the rest. He ceased from his works as God did from his. Now here comes the part, and I do want to finish it. It goes like this. Let us therefore be diligent. Let's be diligent. Let's be intentional. Let's be careful about this. Let's make calculations. Let's make an effort to enter that rest. If it exists, let's be diligent to enter into the rest. Verse 11. Well, that's what I said in the beginning. What do I do? What do I do? God has done his work. Now, what do I do as a believer? Enter his rest. What do you mean? How do I enter his rest? Wait upon him. Trust in him. Follow him. It's not your plan. It's him. You are like him. You have his nature. You are a worshiper of him. You are trusting in him. Hear from his word. So when I realized this, I started to relax and have a lot of thanksgiving and realize that my life is simple. I'm just walking with the God who has entered the rest, and I'm walking with him in this life with rest, with peace, with his thoughts, with meditation. And so meditating on the word, memorizing it, and thinking about it, I just started to drop things. I had this idea of going beyond the stuff and spending time in his presence, waiting upon God, and meditating on what he has said, and believing him, embracing it. And I could actually feel and sense the Holy Spirit in my life. And I started to like have that kind of spirit that Micah said he had in 3:8. He said that the spirit of power from the Spirit of God is in my life. And I love justice. I love justice and what is right and true. That happens to you. That's your life. That's our world. But I got to say, you can't feed on the garbage can and end up like finding your rest. You can't feed in the swamp and just kind of get all messed up with sinful living. You learn how to cast it away and enter into the rest. The rest is better than sin. The rest that we have is better than our way. The rest is the way of God. Look at the last part. It says, verse 12, for the word of God is living and powerful. That's what'll do it. That'll change your life. The word of God, God's word. How can two walk together unless they be agreed? They're agreeing, God and you and God. One time we had a couple, and the husband stopped talking to his wife for 6 months, not a word. And it was his way of like torturing her, like hurting her, because he was hurt. He was so frustrated, and he was so feeling so bad about his marriage. He just shut down. He just shut down and he shut up. He stopped talking. Not a word for 6 months. And I've thought about that with God. There are people that are angry with him. They cannot wait upon God. They don't have it. They can't wait upon him and listen to him and be submitted. Remember Job. Job was filled with words, and they talked and talked and talked. And remember, God is saying, come on. You are the man. You are the man. I am for you. Come on, Job. Listen to, I'm humbling you. You humble yourself. Come on, Job. Think with me. Come on. I'm for you, Job. Walk with me. And Job did, and God gave him back twice, remember? Twice, and he honored the man, and I think he does the same for you and me. There's nobody in this room that could not walk with God, walk with God and enjoy it your whole life. Your whole life, say, man, I don't know, I got this. God's with me. I'm unworthy of it, but he's with me. I'm unworthy of it, but he's taking care of me. I sense his grace. I'm walking in grace, not grace to sin. I got an issue with that a little bit. It's not grace to sin. I got grace so I can live like hell. I got grace so I can do whatever I damn please. Okay? Now that's a ripoff. That this grace is so great that you fall in love with righteousness and truth and humility, and you actually have a habit of walking, waiting upon God as a way of life. And he's feeding you, he's helping you, and you love righteousness and hate iniquity. And yes, when we fall and we sin, there is grace for us, absolutely. But that grace is for us to be restored, to be forgiven, to get up and get going and not do it anymore. It's for us to be free. And if I fall again, the grace is there for me to get up and get going and walk and not do it anymore. And that's in our nature, because we are like God now because of our new birth. Amen. Okay. Jesus, I believe there are people in this room who have an amazing potential and hunger and a history of walking with you and understand this. And there are others that are learning and they're here for good reason and listening on the online, and many with a desire like we have for you, hunger and a desire. Feed that hunger, God. Lead us. It's such an honor. We are so honored to be workers together with you. And for people to see it, that, wow, those people, what do they got going on? What is going on? Those people, there's a rest for the people of God. How did they enter into the rest? So, Jesus, bless our night tonight and lead us through the week. Thank you for caring for us. And we pray for the sisters and brothers everywhere that are hungry for you. And we are learning, God. And then for anyone who wants to start the journey, be born again tonight by believing in Christ, say yes to Jesus. And he is with you forever. And he will lead you, guide you, help you, and answer your prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.